Be opening your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look at chapter 21, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Luke chapter 21 and verse 1. And while you're turning in your Bible, it's a joy to be back with you again. I have had a lot of fun with that name, Bob Jones. My wife and I used to pastor Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. We had a Christian school and all that goes with it. And we had a conference every year in Nashville, Tennessee. And all the Christian school principals and pastors would be there for this big meeting. Well, this year we had Dr. Bob Jones III was the speaker. And we was meeting on the second floor of this hotel in a conference room. And so my wife and I got on the elevator to go up to the second floor, and Dr. Bob Jones III stepped on the elevator with us. So there's three of us. And when he got on, I stuck my hand out and said, "Hey, glad to meet you. My name's Bob Jones." He stuck his hand out and said, "Glad to meet you. I'm Rex Humbard, you know." I said, "Well, glad to meet you, Rex." And he was laughing and laughing. Well, we got upstairs. He thought I was kidding. And we got upstairs where, you know, we was having the meeting. And, of course, the first thing they always did was recognize the pastors and all that was there. So when it came my time to be recognized, I said, "I'm Bob Jones, pastor of Bible Baptist Church, Clarksville, Tennessee." He was sitting on the platform up there, and he'd stood up. And he looked back at me like that, you know. And after the service, he came up to me, and he grabbed me up by my, he said, "You dirty rat." He said, "I thought you was kidding when you said your name was Bob Jones." So help me. The next year, we're having the same meeting. He's our speaker again, Bob Jones III. And it's unbelievable. My wife and I get on the elevator, and on steps Dr. Bob Jones III again. I stuck my hand out and said, "Rex Humbard, glad to see you." Oh, he grabbed me up, and he said, "You dirty rat." He said, "I haven't gotten over that yet." So a lot of fun with the Bob Jones. But we've had a good day today, and thank you, pastor and staff. Boy, they just treated us royal today, took all of us preachers up to Harrisburg and treated us to a wonderful lunch and a wonderful ride there, wonderful ride back. And then to be here tonight and to see this good number, we're so encouraged and thankful for you. And remember, this is Faith Promise Giving Week. The emphasis is on missions, and the emphasis is on giving, and that's exactly what we want to emphasize here this evening, is the fact of giving. And of course, somebody told me, said they already had their card filled out, and then they are going to have to tear it up. Well, a fellow told me not long ago that he was, years ago, he went down to, I don't know if you all ever heard of Percy Ray, and Myrtle, Mississippi, but anyway, that was a big thing back in my day, early day, camp meeting. And they'd all go there, and Percy Ray was a different. I mean, he could raise money, he could get money out of a turnip. I mean, and so they were always having something they was going to buy. Well, this time they was going to buy one of the missionaries a car, an automobile. And this guy told me, he was sitting next to this fellow, and said, Percy Ray gave their pill, and the fellow went down, and he put some money on the, they had a big table up there where they laid the money. Then the fellow came back. And then he said, Percy Ray made another big emphasis, we didn't get enough, we got to have more. And the fellow then went forward and put down some more money. Then he came back, and then they still didn't have enough money, and so this guy pulls out his car keys. And he walks down, and he lays his keys down on the table and just gave the missionary his brand new Pontiac automobile. And he came back and he sat down and he said to my friend next to him, he said, "You know what? If I had obeyed the Lord in the first place," he said, "I could have saved $300, you know, if I'd have just given that car here in the first place." And so perhaps you could save a card, buddy. Just let the Lord, you already know what God wants you to give. So go ahead and give it. All right, let's stand to our feet. We're going to read from the book of Luke, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Oh, by the way, we passed out all the sheets. Everybody got one? Okay, good. Excellent, excellent. Well, you're organized here. I love it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place to be. All right, Luke chapter 21, verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Notice that verse 2. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. Tonight we want to think on the subject, whatever happened to the poor widow? Let's pray. Our Father, again, it's wonderful to be in your house and feel your presence. And Lord, already the songs and the prayers and the special singing and just the fellowship with these dear people, how our hearts have been lifted up. And now as we're thinking about missions, thinking about missionaries, getting the gospel around the world, we just pray now that you'll speak to our hearts here this evening. Help us to say what needs to be said, and your will be done in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. Hey, whatever happened to that poor widow? Did you ever be watching something or listening on the radio, and all of a sudden something happens? Electricity goes off, or the announcer comes on and says, to be continued next week, you know, and you sit there. And you wonder, how in the world did this plot unfold? How did it end? You ever do that? Sometimes the Bible, in reading the Bible, you're reading along and the story ends or the plot stops and it doesn't tell all that happened to that particular person or all that happened in the end. You know, sometimes, in fact, I've read like, did you ever wonder whatever happened to Matthias? Remember Matthias, he took Judas's place there in Acts chapter 1. He's elected to take the place, and he's going to be one of the apostles, and you never hear another word from him. Not, as far as I know, nothing's ever mentioned about him anymore after that. You ever wonder what he do? What happened? Did you ever wonder what Paul said when he appeared before Caesar? I mean, Caesar, probably one of the most notorious kings of all times. And here Paul stood before him. Hey, Paul, what did you say to this king? Now, we know what he said to Festus, and we know what he said to Felix, and we know what he said to Agrippa. Hey, but what did he say to Caesar? You know, did you ever wonder? Maybe you have pondered the mysterious priesthood of Melchizedek in the Old Testament. So sometimes you get just enough of the story to whet your appetite. But you have to wait, well, even till we get to eternity, to get the end of the story. Such is the story of this widow and her offering. I have wondered and wondered, what do you think happened to this widow? Now, the story is very clear here. Jesus sitting in the temple area near the treasure with his disciples, and people are coming, and they're casting in their gifts for the temple into that box. And he's watching it. And the disciples are watching it. And he watched a number of rich men cast in large amounts of money. Then this poor widow. And I always imagine her sort of being shy. And you know, she didn't want anybody. And I can just imagine that poor little thin gal. I can just watch her. And she eased up and hoping nobody will watch. And dropped it in and went on. And Jesus turned to the disciples and said, did you see that? Yeah. He said, did you know that that poor widow has given more than all of these rich people in their abundance have cast? Did you know that? And they said, well, what do you mean? How did that work? And Jesus said this about her. She gave all that she had. She gave all that she had. You ever done that? You ever given all you had? Quite an experience to give all that you have. And you know, there's a lot of things we can get out of this. One thing we can get, when you bring an offering or when the offering plate is passed, did you know you've always got somebody watching you? Jesus is observing every time it passes by. Passed by me tonight, and I said to my wife, you got any money? And she said, no, I left it in the room. I said, I don't either. And you know what? I sort of looked up, Lord, I'll make up for that. I don't like for anything, an offering to pass by me and not give anything. Do you? Are you like that? Well, just remember, Jesus is watching. Yeah, every week when you cast in your faith promise offering, he's watching it. And you know what? He not only knows what you gave, he also knows how much you didn't give. He knows how much is in your pocket. Amen? Ananias and Sapphira are examples of that in the book of Acts chapter 5. But my question tonight is, hey, what do you think happened to that poor widow? How long did it take her to starve to death? She's given everything she's got. Where did she sleep that night? She couldn't have anywhere to sleep. She's a homeless lady? What about the basic essentials of life? She has nothing left. So the question here is, when it comes to this business of giving, upon whom do we trust for all things? Are we trusting in the Lord when it comes to filling out the card? Are we letting the Holy Spirit lead us? Or are we trusting in ourselves? Well, I don't know about, you know, how much this has done this and this has done that. And so when it comes to giving, who do you listen to? When it comes to putting your offering, your faith promise offering, do you trust in yourself or in something else? Or are you trusting in the Lord? Missionaries and missions is centered around giving. That's the key, is giving. Do you give to missions? I'm convinced we could get every member of this church just giving. And we're not worried about the amount, right? As the pastor already said, it's not the amount. It's the giving. It's the giving of of what you give. And giving to missions. And missionaries need help. You've heard these men. We're in a mission conference just about every month, my wife and I. And we constantly hear over and over and over the plea, we want to go to the mission field. We long to be there. We've got this project. Our brother Steve wants to build a hospital. And he's convinced that if everybody would just give a dollar, he'd have enough money to build that hospital. A dollar. And on and on and on the story goes. But the question is, do you give? First of all, do you tithe? Now, giving to missions, you better not give your tithe as being part of your mission giving. You owe that tithe. That tithe belongs to the Lord. You better give that tithe. Or else I've got news for you. He'll come and get it. Amen. He'll come and get it. I pastored church, and I went to a lot of operations. I always had prayer with my members before they had surgery. And you know what? Many of them were having their tithe taken out. Absolutely. And it can happen. But I'm just saying the tithe belongs to the Lord. And it's our tithes and offerings that take care of the building. The upkeep pays the electricity, pays the salaries, it pays the outside here. It's for the upkeep and for the benefit of the church. Now, missions is an outside project. It's not here, it's outside. It's a project outside of the church. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, you find there that the church at Corinth took up a special offering for Macedonia. It was an outside need that they took care of. And that's what missions is. It's an outside need. And so I'm just asking you, are you giving to your tithe? And then are you giving an offering? Everybody should give tithe. Everybody should give an offering every week. It ought to go to your church right here where you're a member of. And then you ought to give to missions. Above your tithe, above your offering, you ought to give something to missions every week. And the key, of course, is trusting God for all of these. Down through the years, there's been numerous of people who are examples to us who trusted in the Lord for their faith promise giving and for giving to missions and for being missionaries. I mentioned a few there in your outline tonight. Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was one of the greatest missionaries in history outside of the Apostle Paul. Hudson Taylor was responsible for opening up China to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was the first Christian to go into this interior of China, which was a total pagan land in that particular time. But before he left England, being a practical man that he was, he began to think, how am I going to exist in that land of China? There'll be no mail coming because they didn't have mail back in those days. There'll be nothing coming from England. There's no Christians there to meet me when I get off the ship. How am I going to exist? These questions went through his mind. How am I going to eat? And of course, these were practical questions from a practical man. And so he resolved these questions in a way that most of us would not have thought of. Here's what he did. He said, if I'm going to survive in that land, it will be God who's going to provide my needs every day. So that night, Hudson Taylor, whatever money he had, he gave it away. All of his money, everything he had, he gave it away that night. The next day, he started with nothing. But God provided his substance that day, his food, whatever he needed that day, God took care of it. So at the end of the day, when the day was over, he found out he had more than he needed. So that night, he gave away again all that he had. He started the next day with nothing. Now, he was attending medical school. He was going to be a doctor to help people not only physically, but also spiritually as well. So at the end of each day, this is a remarkable story. At the end of each day, he gave all that he had away. He began every day with zero, nilch, nothing. You know what? He found out that God could take care of it. He trusted God to supply every need. And he did that for days, for weeks, perhaps even months. I'm not sure how long. But finally, when he left to go to China as a missionary, he knew very well that God was able to supply all his needs by his riches and glory. So Hudson Taylor, hey man, what a story, was a man who trusted completely in God. And that's what I'm emphasizing to you here tonight. When it comes to this business of giving faith, promise, offering to missions, you got to trust the Lord. You're believing in God. You're letting God lead in your life. Hey, but back to this widow. Whatever happened to the widow? Did she starve to death? How many of you think, actually, that woman gave everything she had, didn't have anything, and she starved to death? How many of you believe that? Not one person here believes that. You know better. You know she did not starve to death. Did she have a place to sleep that night? Is she a homeless woman? Or did God take care of her? Why, we all know. Everybody here is good. You know God took care of her that night. Though she had given everything she had to God that day, God was more than able to supply her need. I'm convinced that God blessed her abundantly. Abundantly. Based on what we read in the Bible and about the different ones who trusted God completely, and based on testimonies from great men like Hudson Taylor and based on my own experiences. I'm convinced that if you heard about her again, she would not be that poor widow who had nothing. She would be testifying, I'm convinced, she'd be testifying that God had blessed her abundantly. Why? Because she gave to the Lord. I'm a walking testimony of what God has done through these years. I could give story after story after story. Not long ago, I was preaching in Forest City, North Carolina. I was in a church, small church, and I can't remember well, but I don't think they gave me an offering or anything. I just preached. And by the way, I tell people, you don't have to pay me to preach. I'll pay you to just let me come and preach. Amen? I'm not that popular. I'm not that good. I know that. But I love to preach. And so I went there and I preached that morning. I was supposed to preach again that night. Well, this guy, family wanted to take me for lunch at this famous restaurant called Fats. You're familiar with Fats, aren't you, brother? North Carolina, South Carolina, full. It's a chain restaurant through that area. Buda, it's a real nice place. And we got there, of course, and the place was crowded. Had to put our name on the list and wait for a seat. Well, that morning in the church service, as the offering plate was passed by, and I prepared. I didn't do it tonight. I forgot. But I always prepare to give. I want to be able to give. And I had a dollar left And so I stuck it in my pocket, and I was going to give it in that offering plate that morning. And somehow, the ushers passed me up, and I wasn't able to put my dollar in the offering plate. And so now I'm standing there, leaned up against the wall. We're waiting for a table, and I'm watching this busboy. Boy, he was cleaning tables and throwing this, and boy, the sweat was rolling his hair down in his eyes, and, you know, he looked so pitiful, his face, and I thought, boy, this boy's really working. I wonder if I could cheer him up a little bit. So I stuck my hand in my pocket. I thought, I'm going to give him this dollar bill. Maybe that'll help him. So as he went flying by back to the kitchen, I stuck my hand out and shook his hand and put that dollar bill in his hand. Well, he went on. A couple of minutes later, he came back, and man, he was smiling, and I watched him do the table. He had a different attitude. I mean, he just was, and every time he passed by me, he'd look at me and just smile. I thought, wow, if a dollar bill could cheer him up like that, man, isn't that wonderful? And then it hit me. I thought, that morning before I left my room, I'd put a dollar in this pocket to give an offering, and then I put a $20 bill in this pocket. For guests, that's all I had. I had $21, and I had to get all the way home. I was a long ways from Chattanooga, and I knew just how much gas money it was going to take me. I had $20 to get me there, and that's all I had. I was broke. And so I thought, wow, I've really cheered this busboy up. I just wonder, and I stuck my hand in my other pocket, and I thought, well, I just wonder, surely I gave him that dollar. And then when I pulled it out, I looked down and I said, uh-oh. And you know, I had given him my $20 bill. And for a moment, I panicked. I mean, I really did. I knew, how am I going to get home? I mean, that's all I've got. I mean, I had saved it out, exactly what I needed for gasoline to get me home. What was I going to do? Should I go up to this young man and say, hey, look, man, give me back my $20 bill. Here's a dollar. I didn't mean to give you all of that. Well, I knew that wasn't going to work. I knew I couldn't do that. So you know what I said? I just leaned back up against the wall, and I looked up to heaven, and I said, now, Lord, you and me are the only ones that know what's going on here in this building today. I'm going to let you work it out. I'm going to go on and enjoy my dinner. And so I just sort of got peace about it, and I went in, and we sat down. We ate, fellowshiped, had a good time. So the host said, y'all going out the car, I'll pay the bill. So we went out the car, and we're standing around him and his people, and we were talking. So out comes this host, and he's got a wad of money in his hand. He said, Brother Jones, he said, there was a couple there at church this morning, and they were sitting there eating with us there in the restaurant, and they had an offering they was going to give you, but the ushers passed them up. By the way, sorriest ushers I ever met. I'd fired them right on the spot. But they said they couldn't give it, and so they've handed me the money. They want you to have this. And he stuck a wad of money in my hand. And boy, I didn't even put it in my pocket. I sort of held it, and I got in the car, and you know how evangelists are. We're anxious to see what a love offering is. Man, I'm counting that up. And you know how much it was? $50. I went in that restaurant with $21, and I came out with $51. Now, you can't beat a deal like that. Amen? And I'm telling you, you cannot outgive the Lord. There's no way anybody here today can outgive our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Hudson Taylor, he had a brother. And Hudson Taylor had shared the gospel with his brother in his own testimony in the books he's written. He's told several times about how he witnessed to his brother, talked to him about being saved and serving the Lord. Brother's brother wanted nothing to do with Christianity. He knew what his goal was in life. He was going to be famous. He was going to get a job and become rich. And he wanted to fame and fortune. He wanted his name to be a famous name like so many in our world do today. You know, they're looking for fortune. They're looking for fame, looking for all of those things. So he rejected the plea to give his heart to Christ and serve him. He was going to be famous. Now, how many of you here tonight know Hudson Taylor's brother's name? Anybody? I don't even know it. You know, every time in history books that mentions his brother, they always say Hudson Taylor's brother. Hudson Taylor's brother. Hudson Taylor died not seeking fame, not seeking fortune, but God blessed him abundantly. His name still lives on, everything that he did. He gave him what his brother sought after. God did. Gave Hudson Taylor what his brother was seeking, but he never found because he left the Lord out of his life. Oh, friends, today, how God desires for us to give in order that he might just bless us. He wants to bless. He wants, if you'll give over and over and over the promises in the Bible, God will bless you. No man hath given lands or money or any of these things of this world, but God will bless him 100-fold. Not only in this world, but better yet, in eternity, forever. So God blesses people right here and now, as well as in life to come. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed that when Sue and I give, the greater the blessings come to our life. We haven't always given like we do today. We had to learn it. We had to learn to give. We had to learn all of those things. We started out many, many, many years ago. Years ago. First time I ever heard about faith promise giving. My wife and I had never heard it. We both tithe. We both came from Christian homes. We both were taught tithing. But I'd never heard of faith promise giving. And so we went to work at this church. And the pastor, the first week we were there, they had a revival meeting. And a man came and he preached on faith promise giving all week. And then that week, at that end of the week, he said, now I want you to take your card. He said, I want you to take this card and fill it out. And he said, tonight, this was on Saturday night, you pray, you and your mate, get down on your knees, you pray, ask God how much he wants you to give, and you put your mount on that card and bring it back. So my wife and I, we went home that night. First time in our life we'd ever done this. We got down on our knees to pray, to ask God how much he wanted us to give to missions above our tithe, above our offering. So we both felt like we could give a dollar. Above our tithe, above our offering. We put down a dollar. And you know, we started giving a dollar every week. Every week we gave a dollar above our tithe, above our offering. And we noticed God blessed us. I mean, unusual ways. Unusual things happened. Just we knew it was the Lord. Blessing, blessing. So we gave a dollar. Next year, the pastor had the same guy come back. And he preached again another week on faith promise giving. And sure enough, he said it on Saturday night. He said, now, if you've been giving to faith promise giving, it's time for you to raise your offering. Now, I want you to go home, he said, tonight, if you've been giving already, and your mate get down on your knees, you pray, and ask God how much you can raise your offering. So, my wife and I went home, got down on our knees, we prayed, and we felt like we could give $5. Above our tithe, above our offering, we was going to give $5 to missions every week. So we started giving $5. And again, the blessings just come and come and come. And so this preacher emphasized, now you need to do that every year. You need to raise your faith promise offering. That was in 1968. My wife and I, since 1968, have raised our faith promise offering every year since 1968. And we're walking examples, just like the widow. You cannot outgive the Lord. Put him to the test. Put him to the test. Like she did. Put him to the test. See what God can do for your life. I know, as I said, by experience, how God will bless. Not too long ago, my wife and I were on our way to a meeting early in the morning. Had to drive all day to get there. And I was already sleepy. And so we're driving along. And so we're on an interstate. And so we decided we'd pull off. I pulled off at a pilot service station. We have pilot service stations all over the interstate. 75 up and down. And so I pulled off the pilot, and I pulled in and parked. My wife said, you going to get gas? And I said, well, maybe. I didn't have any money. So I said, well, maybe. And so I went in to the bathroom, freshened up, washed my face, and I came back out. And when I came out, when I stepped down off the curb, there lay a $100 bill. A brand new $100 bill. I reached down, picked it up. Good night. Well, hallelujah. And I looked over. I thought, well, somebody's over there pumping gas, and the wind's blowed this dollar bill, or $100 bill out of their hand. They're probably desperately looking for the $100. Well, I looked over there. Wasn't anybody. There was no cars at the place. I said, well, they're probably going inside. They're telling the manager They've lost a $100 bill. I'll go in and find them. I went inside. I couldn't even find the cash register gal. There was nobody. So I said, the Lord's given me $100. So I went back out to my wife and I said, look here what the Lord gave us. And my wife said, faith, promise, giving. That's what she always says, faith, promise, giving. $100 bill. I said, okay. And I went ahead and filled up the car with gas. And so we both get back in the car and we're getting ready to pull out. And we pulled out. And just as we pulled around, my wife said, stop the car, stop the car. There's another $100 bill there. So she jumps out, grabs that $100 bill. And then we both got out, and me, we got down on our knees and scanned that parking lot. God knows how to give handfuls on purpose, does he not? And he can sure do it. Well, let me tell you a story about a boy by the name of Billy. Now, Billy, one day his father told him, said, Billy, you're going to have to leave. I can't afford to feed you anymore. It's just hard times, and I'm sorry, son, you're going to have to leave. 16 years old. So Billy put all of his belongings in a sack, put them on his back, and he walked out. Didn't know where he's going to go, 16 years old. Didn't know how to do anything. Didn't know where he's going to eat that night. Had nothing. So he went down to the canal. There was a canal near their house. And he sat there, and as he was sitting there, he met an old canal boat captain who came along, who happened to be a Christian. And the man began to talk to Billy and said, well, what, you look so sad. What's wrong? And so Billy told the man his terrible situation. And the captain said, young man, what do you know how to do? He said, well, honestly, I don't know how to do anything. Oh, the captain said, come on, you must know how to do something. Did you do anything at home? And Billy said, well, my father had a side business and he made candles and soap. And the captain said, well, can you do that? Do you know how to do that? He said, yeah, I think I could do that. Well, he said, why don't you do that? But he said, before you do, let me tell you three things. Number one, first, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He said, that's a must. You want Christ in your heart. You want Christ in your life. You want Christ to lead you in everything you do. And you want to make sure you've got a home in heaven. And he said, the only way to do that is by believing and trusting in Christ and him alone for your salvation. So you need that. And then secondly, he said, after you trust the Lord, after you become a Christian, you need to learn to tithe. You want to make sure that you tithe on every penny that you make. And after you tithe, then you give an offering. And then he said, you give to missions. Way back there. And then he said, the third thing I want to tell you is you need to make an honest dollar. When you make a bar of soap and you sell it, you be honest with it, and you be that way. Well, Billy took this canal captain seriously, and right then and there, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And then he started making soap. He tithed on all that he made, and he was became one of the honest businessmen of his day. You know what his name was? His real name was William Colgate Palmolive. He gave 20% of his offering to missions. Then he raised it to 40%. Then he raised it to 50%. Then he raised it to 60% of the salary that he made to missions. What a story, huh? That shows how God can bless. And God wants to bless us if we'll just obey in giving. And then there's a young man by the name of Johnny. Oh, what a story. Johnny, he was 12 years old. And so times were real hard. Dad was gone. So he got a job making $1.50 a week. And so he got paid the first week he worked. He had $1.50. He brought it home to his mother. And she commended him on his work and what he was doing and how good he was, a good boy and so on. And he laid the dollar and 50 cents down on the table, and she picked up a dime and a nickel and scooted it over to the side, and she said, now, Johnny, I want you to give this to the church this week. I want you to give your tithe to the church this week. And, Johnny, I want you to promise me, from now on, every penny you make, you'll tithe to the Lord God of heaven and give to mission. Will you promise me that? And Johnny said, yes, I do. And since that day, he had always tithed. His story is he tithed. And from then on, he also gave to missions. You know what happened to him? He became the richest man in America. And then you know what happened? He became the richest man in all the world. And his name was John D. Rockefeller. You heard of him, have you not? He gave a great deal of money to missions. Again, an example. Here's an example of our giving and how God wants to bless us. Now, we don't give to become millionaires, right? We give because we love to give. We give because of the need. We give because of these missionaries who cannot go. They can't go across the street. They have to have gas. They have to have food. They have to have shelter. They have to have all of that. They need our help. And we give because we see the need and because we love the Lord and because we want to please God. We're not in it to become rich. I'm just showing you this is what God will do, how God will bless us. You can't outgive God. What about the young couple on the way to Africa to be missionaries? They're going to a foreign land. But before they did that, they had to take a physical to qualify for this particular mission group. And so they took the physical, and they found out that the man had an unusual medical situation that would not allow him to go to this particular mission field where they wanted to go because of his health needs. Oh, they were so disappointed. You know how people have their minds set on being missionaries and doing what God wants. But this is what they said. If we can't serve on the mission field, we'll serve at home with our what we make here and all. We'll serve that and we'll help missionaries so they can go. And this young lad, this young couple, his father had a hobby of making unfermented wine for church communion. And so he took over that business. And it was called Welch's Grape Juice. Probably had some this morning, did you not? We got a bottle sitting in the guest room in there. Welch's Grape Juice. This man and his wife took that business, and that's what you have today. That's what God will do. Amen? That's what God will do for us. What a story. What a blessing to know how God wants to bless us here this evening. And then there's the teenage boy. In his early teens, he came down with tuberculosis, TB. He wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a missionary. But he went to his doctor, and the doctor said, well, I'll tell you what. We don't have an antitoxin that we can give you. At that time, they didn't have had not discovered what to do for TB. And so he asked his doctor, said, well, do you have any advice? Since I just have a year to live, what do you think? And the doctor said, well, my advice is get you a job outside. Go outdoors. Work maybe in the forest. That'd be a good place. Just work outside where nothing but fresh air. And so because I had no medicine or anything like that in those days, so this young lad got a job in a lumber company. And he started working outside, cutting trees, sawing logs. And the first year went by. Well, he's still good. He's still breathing, still doing well. And so the second year went by. Third year, he's still in the business, still cutting trees. 5 years went by. 6 years went by. And the TB was gone. He had developed into a strong man and strong lungs and all of that. But one day, he heard the gospel. And he accepted Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. See, that's the key. Make sure you're saved tonight. Make sure you know the Lord as your Savior. Make sure you've had that personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, one day, he was out cutting trees and all of that. And his company, and they came upon an old mill, and it was broken down, and the building was dilapidated and all. It used to be run by the Quakers. It was a mill that was run by the Quakers. Well, this lad found the owner, and he decided he'd buy the building himself, and he started his own business, and you know what he did? He started making cereal. He started making Quaker Oats cereal. My wife had some for breakfast this morning. You probably did too. And that goes all the way back to this young lad. He became one of the richest men in that particular country. Started tithing right from the very beginning. And he began after that to give to missions. Again, all of these are just examples. You can look them up in the encyclopedia. There are these stories of what God will do. But back to the question. Whatever happened to the poor widow that gave the two mites, two nickels, just a little piece of money, gave all she had. What happened to her? Well, naturally, I don't have all the details, but you know what? I am absolutely confident that God took care of her, and not only took care of her, but abundantly took care of her. In just a little while, the Lord, one day, my wife and I were standing in Chicago Airport the other day waiting for somebody to pick us up. And these long stretch limousines were coming through, and they were picking up celebrities. There was even a movie star, and boy, there were people there cheering, you know, and they'd stream by. So I said to my wife, I said, you know, Sue, I got one of them coming after me one of these days. She said, you do? When? I said, when I take my last breath. I said, the Lord's going to send down that stretch chariot. And those angels are going to zoom right up. And one of them is going to get out and open the door and say, get on board, Bob. Time to go home. We're going to take you home. And they're going to zoom me right up into glory. Guess who the first person I'm going to see? I'm going to see my Lord. You know, I've never seen him. I've preached about him now for 57 years. Never seen him. I talk to him every day, several times a day. I read about him every day. Never seen him. One day, I'm going to see him face to face. You know what? He's going to say, welcome home, Bob. Come on in. We've been waiting on you. We got your place ready. Bob, look at all those people. They've been waiting for you to come. There's your mother. There's your daddy. There's your sister. There's all your uncles and aunts. You want them to the Lord. And there's all those people you preach to around the world. They've been waiting on you. And then he's going to take me to my mansion. And after we've done that for who knows how long, time don't matter. One day I'm going to say, Lord, I wonder if you would you mind introducing me? I'd like to meet that widow that you said gave all that she had. Could I meet her? Would it be all right? The Lord's going to say, yeah, let me show you where she lives. They'll go past my little shack. Amen? And there are no shacks in heaven, don't get me wrong. He'll go past to that. We'll go up to one of the most brilliant mansions you ever could dream about in all your life. He'll say, that's where she lives. And she'll come out. You know what I'll say to her? First thing I said, I want to say to her, hey, would you mind just telling me what happened that day when you dropped in those two mites? Would you just mind telling me? Oh, she'll say, oh, Bob, you can't believe. Bob, you won't believe what happened that day. And she'll start to tell all the blessings, all the wonderful things that the Lord did for her that day. And then from then on, hey, can you outgive the Lord? I'm not worried about that widow. I'm not worried that she fell along the slums and all of that. I know God took care of her. Amen. You know that too, don't you? All of us know that here tonight. We know the God of heaven, the God that we serve tonight. And when it comes to this business of giving, let us learn that tithing and giving is not a matter of finances. It's a matter of faith. We're depending on the Lord tonight. We're trusting Him. And that's what faith promises. It means that faith. By faith, I'm going to give this amount. And by faith, I'm trusting you, Lord, to help me, to give it, to make sure that I have it. I'm going to trust you. By faith, I'm going to give this much to missions. Don't you let the devil deceive you. Don't you let the cares of this world deceive you. Let's just believe the promises of God, which are designed to bless us. Oh, missions, as I said at the beginning, is the key. It's the key to our ministry. It's the key to our life. It's the key to your success, is giving. Let's stand to our feet.